There's a place that I love to run and play. There's a place that I sing new songs of praise. Dancing with my Father and God in fields of grace. Dancing with my Father and God in fields of grace.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Matchless Cast. So glad to have you along with us. This is the second part of the conversation that Jason, I'm Steve, by the way, and this is the second part of a conversation that Jason and I started, and we're going to finish it up on this episode of Matchless Cast. Thank you so much, right off the bat, for all the feedback, the emails, and those of you who have joined our group on our page on Facebook. It's facebook.com/matchlesscast. There's a discussion over there that I think would be really interesting to get into that we started, and it's just tell us your story. What is your journey with Christ? Talk about this, what grace has meant to you, what the grace of God has meant to you. Let us know. We want to hear from you. We want to be encouraged by you as we hope to encourage you in what's going on. Well, where we're picking up is right kind of where we left off, talking about the works that we do. When we do them out of a heart that has been impacted by grace, end up being works that last in eternity. We're not worried about the superficial things that so many times we kind of wrap our heads and minds around to try to please God or to try and perform for God and for the rest of the church. Rather, works that would last in eternity. And that's kind of where we left off last time, and that's where we're picking up this time. And so let's jump into it right now at Matchless Cast.
My Father loves me, I dance for my Father. My Father sings over me. Ooh, and nothing, nothing, nothing can take that away from me. Yeah, nothing, nothing, nothing can take that away from me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a place where religion finally dies.
But when you do something in the Spirit, by the power of God, through obedient faith, a real work. The Bible says that there are works, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And I believe the wood, hay, and the stubble is the stuff that we do in our own strength, by the power of the flesh, by the power of self, with the begrudging attitude of I don't really want to be here, and I don't really want to do this, and I don't really care about what happens, and let's just get through this to please other people. I believe all that stuff goes away, but I believe what remains is that gold, silver, and precious stones, the work of God, the work of the Savior, and the work of the Holy Spirit. These things, I believe, will remain forever, not to our praise and glory, but to His.
Right, right.
Imagine that, dude. I was a lost sinner. There is the possibility that maybe one thing that comes through me might last for eternity in the presence of Almighty God.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Sir, that is a big deal.
What's more motivational than that, man?
Yep.
I mean, I don't need Sister So-and-so's applause. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't really care that she thinks I wore a tie nicely. I'm talking about you could be connected and are, by the grace of God, connected to eternal things that last forever. And when you see that, man, I forget the song, and I always want to remember it, but there is one song that talks about how when we gaze towards the glorious things of heaven and eternity, the rest of the world just fades away.
Well, yeah, that's turn your eyes upon Jesus.
There it is, turn your eyes upon
Jesus.
The
things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Yes.
Yeah.
They grow strangely dim.
Yeah.
And all of those behaviors, all of those things, and by the way, one thing Steve and I will confess to you people, absolutely, the sin struggle, I'll speak for myself, but I was about to blow you out of the water. Sin... The sin struggle and the reality of sin does not disappear from the life of a believer once they find grace. In fact, I think sometimes it's dialed up to 11. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think the fire, and I refer to it as the fiery darts of the enemy, where he attacks us and he says, all right, big boy, you want to get on there and talk about how much you love Jesus and how much he loves you? Let me attack you with this temptation today. Boom. That's where we must trust Scripture.
Yeah.
There's no temptation that's out there that's not common to man.
And God is faithful.
God is faithful. Yep. In every one of them, there is a way of escape. But listen, the way of escape is not gritting one's teeth and saying, I didn't really feel that temptation. I shouldn't have felt that temptation. I'm a bad person because I felt that temptation. That's the religious answer. The religious answer is to focus on me and say, I should have, I didn't, I'm bad, I'm awful.
Right.
Well, the devil's got you anyway. Even if you didn't do the thing, he's got you thinking about the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual answer to that is to turn to the Father and say, Lord, this is the reality of where my mind is. I'm thinking about this and this and this and this. This is what's tempting me. Deliver me from the presence of this evil. Or deliver that evil from my presence. Or give me an alternative, Lord. Or, you know, I'm going to call so-and-so and talk about this thing. And we all deal with the particulars of our own particular temptations in different ways. But it's a matter of turning to God in those moments instead of turning in fear and shame towards whatever other thing the devil has for
us. Yeah, I mean, like that, and that was something I was going to say because we're coming up, I know, on about the hour 15-minute mark, that I think that it's something we need to address in the future, which you addressed really well, is this idea of what do you do? You know, we've talked about grace, and we've talked about the idea that, yes, it saves us, but grace also is what keeps us, and grace is what sustains us, and grace is what, I love that we were looking up the definition earlier, looking through Strong's Concordance, you know, and it talked about keeping and controlling and sustaining and all this other stuff, and strengthening was one of the words. And that it disciplines us, you know, and we've talked about that idea because my thing is I really want other believers to understand that the discipline of God is not something to be feared. It's something to be embraced and to understand that he lovingly guides us in the direction that is best for us.
I got one to trip you out on that. The word conviction, as far as I can find, is only used one time in the New Testament. And it's used and directed towards the Pharisees, who were the religious people. And it speaks of how the Pharisees were convicted in their own hearts. Hmm. Preachers talk a lot about the convicting work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that word and I understand the context of it. I would prefer... And when I talk to my children and the people that I minister to, I use the word convincing.
Mm.
The work of the Holy Spirit is revelatory. It doesn't just say no. It says no, but.
Yeah.
It doesn't just say yes. It says yes and.
Okay, yeah.
It shines a light on the broader reality.
Yeah.
It says to me, hey, Jason, that thing over there is not good for you, but let me turn your attention towards the 500 other awesome things that are.
And therein lies just, again, a personal, you know, just in my personal life. Several months ago, God's like, here's some things that have really become a big part of your life that you need to lay down, you know, to reprioritize, and these things have got to go. And it wasn't that they were sinful things. It wasn't my porn collection or anything. You know, it was, I'm sorry, that was too far. We'll edit. It wasn't sinful things. You know, it wasn't like a stash of hidden, you know, sin secret things that no one needs. It were things that just had become too big in my life, almost idols. And what I found is that there was pain in letting go and laying some things down. But God was so faithful and has been so faithful to not necessarily restore those things, but to replace those things with something so much more fulfilling.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it is that heaped up, pressed down, shaken together and running over scenario.
Yeah.
That I have found. And what I'm saying and said all this to say that, you know, as we've talked about this idea of discipline, talked about this idea of the walk beyond that moment of salvation and how grace infuses us with not just not a burden at all. It becomes a desire, and it becomes an, you know, almost as you focus on these things, an excitement. And then as you, as we're winding down, we talk about this idea because I think it's something that we need to at some point get into. What do you do when you struggle with this stuff? What do you do when you have these things that, that it seems like, if I can use the word foothold, you know, that Satan gets in our lives sometimes with things? And you answered it so well, is that a lot of times in our Christian walk, what we tend to focus on is the sin.
Yes.
And if you, and not to sound too philosophical or esoteric or New Age or whatever, but so many times it's true that our focus becomes our reality.
Yeah.
And if we focus on sin, guess what? We're going to gravitate towards sin. And I think that's a, I think that Paul talks about that when he talks about the law points out sin, and therefore it lead. You know, there's a point of the law that leads us to sin. Yeah. You know,
the power of sin is the law.
Yeah.
He says that.
Yeah.
And when I read that the first time, I was like, "Who wrote this? Wait just a minute.
This ain't right. But as we focus on that, it's just like when you're driving down the road. If you look over to the right, you're going to start to veer that way.
Yeah.
When we focus on Christ. And we focus on the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, what begins to happen? We begin to gravitate that way.
Yeah.
We begin to gravitate more and more and more to what the Holy Spirit wants to do, to what God wants to do in us as He's changing us, as He's growing us, as He's completing the work that He's faithful to complete in us. And it becomes this glorious thing of walking with God. And do we have the days where we're just tired? Yes. Do we have those moments where God's like, sit down, chill, relax? Yes. But it, but in us and within me, what I have found is that I say, God, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. God, I just want what you've got. You know, I want who you are, and I don't want to be this person anymore that was destructive to relationships and friendships. I don't want to be this person who whose selfishness consumed him. I want to be consumed with your love and grace.
Yeah. One thing, Steve, or a couple of things. We're both, because we're on the podcast, obviously it would be rather boring for the listener if we got on here and just described a not awesome day with Grace.
Right. Well, I was doing laundry today.
Do you understand what I mean? In other words, when you're explaining what it is, it's very easy for us even, I know it is for me, to overstate what it's like on a great day with Grace, and to fail to emphasize that even on a terrible human day,
mm-hmm.
it's still awesome with Grace.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I mean by that is, I've gone through seasons in my life, months in my life, where the only part of grace, Steve, that I was enjoying was the fact that God had not left me.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't enjoying the discipline. I wasn't enjoying the opening my eyes to new truth. I wasn't enjoying the go and share. I was in one of those times in my life where I was trying to struggle through it on my own. I was trying to figure some things out, and I had to, for the 100th time, come to the recognition that it's God and God alone.
Yeah.
And that my role and responsibility is to trust and obey, to believe Him, and in believing Him, follow what He has directed me to do. And that as I would do that, He would reveal His life in me. I mean, that's all obedience is. Obedience is not doing a bunch of stuff so that He'll hang out with me. It's hanging out with Him and then doing whatever He says to do,
yeah,
moment by moment, experiencing that through the Word of God, through Bible study, through prayer. And so we don't want to give the false notion that what you and I are experiencing or what we're talking about will be the 24/7 thing.
Oh, sure.
What
sure,
we want
sure.
to give is the clear reality that you will have days and weeks and months even when grace will be it will be the safety net.
Yeah.
And then other times it'll be the high wire. But that and in everywhere in between, God still loves you. See, the cool thing about that is, Steve, you were under grace for 30 years.
Yep.
And it was working its truth into you until finally you understood it.
Yeah.
And I think that there are people out there, you know, the entire purpose of this podcast is not to say, are you saved, are you saved, are you saved? The purpose is to say, here's what your salvation really, really is.
Yeah.
It's more than just a transactional thing between you and a far-off God. It's more than you and a transactional thing with a church. It's more than you and some service. It's more than you and some attendance. It's more than you and some church. It's more than you and a collection of moral choices and behaviors. There are moral people who are not saved. There are people who do the right thing, you know, and who are not believers. Salvation, grace, a relationship with God is an everyday, real, ongoing truth that we can walk in. And when you said that wonderful thing about your own personal journey, and there were some things that you were doing that you knew needed to be, that you didn't know in the middle of them you needed to give them up.
Right.
But eventually you began to be led to give them up. Steve, there are some people out there, when they hear that, they immediately begin to catalog all the terrible things they've done and think that God is somehow disappointed with them, doesn't love them, and if they would just give them up, they would have the joy that Steve's talking about.
Right.
And that's not what we're saying.
No.
We're
no.
saying that the joy and the peace and the grace that God began to reveal to you gave you the strength to give those things up.
Yeah.
Was the impetus behind giving them up.
Yeah.
Was, in other words, the connectivity with God is where you were able to say, quite frankly, even if he doesn't replace these with anything.
Right. They got to go. Yeah, they got to go.
They got to go.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the choices we made years ago, we put our credit cards away and we don't use our credit cards anymore. We still have them, but we don't use them. Could I use them? Yeah. Sure. Am I responsible enough to manage them? Absolutely. It's just a burden I don't need anymore in my life. Sometimes God takes away stuff from us that's not even inherently sinful.
Right.
Just
right,
a waste of time. It's just a waste of effort.
Right.
And that's pretty amazing too. Because see, that shows that God is not just interested in the outward little things.
He's not just interested in the morality side of things.
Yes.
He's interested in the life side of things.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, I call this moment in time, because it really was a weird moment almost, that God really showed me myself, showed me himself, and was like, I've got you. It's time to let go of some things. And I call it this chaotic experience with grace, because everything in me kind of got turned upside down. You know, there was a lot about me that was shaken, and to let go of these things, and then to, I mean, within days, have God say, well, here's this for you. Here's this person.
Yeah, and when you're talking about letting go, you're talking about some pretty core ways that you defined yourself.
Yep.
Some pretty core things that were, this is my personality, this is who I am, almost identity equal things.
Yeah. Oh, I would say
that. I am a Christian / these things.
Yeah. And the thing is, and I want to make it clear that I want to be careful, because I don't think everyone has to go through, because for me it was real chaotic. You know, for me, I don't want to use the word traumatic, but there was, you know, to me there was a shaking down to my very foundation for a few days or for a while. You know, is in my mind I saw just me on the foundation of Christ, and I didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
I didn't know what direction to go in. You know as well as I do that when it comes to just doing this podcast, and I hope this isn't too personal for everybody, but when it comes to just doing this podcast that I came with a lot of fear and trepidation to it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, well, I don't want to put myself out there.
Yeah, I told you this, and it was one of those things that you took and you just went, you did that, Steve. Okay. I told you, Steve, one cool thing about Grace is it's all right to be good at what you're good at.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think even some Grace people in the Grace community misunderstand what it means. They're so focused on not being of the self. Mm-hmm. That might be the phrase they used, or being empowered by the self, that they miss the idea that God has saved us as whole people.
Yeah.
And that he's in love with us and he likes us, and that personality and those gifts are cool with him. The problem is if we ever, and a lot of denominations do this, if we ever throw the gift in front of the giver,
yep.
If we ever worship the gift, if the gift defines us, well, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a sense, we're in trouble in our own minds, because that can quickly inflate itself to a place of equality with God, and he's not only gracious, he's also jealous. And one of the great works of God is where he reminds us over and over and over of his supremacy in everything.
Yeah.
And it is only when he has supremacy in everything that we understand the right relationship we're to have with him and to the people in our lives. And so when he gives us something, he intends for it to be used call and response. He gives it to us, and then we respond by returning it to him by using it for his glory and for his edification. When we use it for our own, eventually it just becomes it's like sucking on a penny. I mean, you know, that copper in your mouth. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just we do it, but it's going through the motions. You know as well as I do. I know this for you especially. You have a gift for teaching. How that very gift can become a curse.
Yeah.
Because you begin to do it, all right, if I plug in A, then I know I'll get B, and if I say B, I know I'll get C, and if I say C, I know I'll get D. And you get where you just rinse and repeat. It's like washing your hair, you know, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And what we're saying is when you have connected with God in that real and deep way, all of a sudden, even the routine mundane things that you do in your life take on a meaning that you go, I tell my folks that I minister to this. At our house, God and I, we take out the trash. And what I mean by that is there's nothing too mundane
but you're
for
super
Jesus.
Spiritual in taking
yes,
out the trash.
Yes, I'm very spiritual. but you know what I mean by that? It's that there's nothing too mundane to believe that God is a part of it and that he has a purpose for it. And so I hate to take out the garbage. I loathe it. I am a neat freak, and so, but my wife, I love my wife more than I loathe taking out the garbage, and so my wife will say, "Sugar, will you take out the garbage? It needs to go out into the trash can." And I'll say, and I'll huff, and I get up to do it. But then, as I'm walking over to do it, I'm cognizant of the fact that while that's a mundane, everyday house chore, it's also in some way a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
It's something I'm doing for my wife, whom I love, who is a gift from God. And immediately my mind is able to race back to all the benefits and blessings that I have in Christ, including a godly family and a godly wife and children, one of whom is saved and the other who are growing up in that same circumstance. And honestly, by the time I get back in from taking out the garbage, I've forgotten what I'm doing because I'm rejoicing in my spirit. Now, that sounds corny to people, and you're laughing at me,
but what I love is the reality. It's like, and by the time I realize all that, I'm already sitting back down.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about that.
Because it was just taking out the trash.
Yeah, but you think about how many people are burdened down with the mundane when God is available to take our minds and elevate it to the supernal like that.
Yeah.
And we divorce ourselves from those opportunities because we begrudgingly take part in this life just waiting for heaven.
Man.
Just getting through.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Does that make sense? Have you ever met a believer who, you know, you meet them 25 years ago, and they're talking about how things are bad with their mom and things are bad at the church and this and this. 25 years later, things are bad with their kids and things are bad with this and things with that. And then there's never a sense of, well, here's what God has done. Yeah. Here's what I'm seeing Jesus do. And what we're saying is those should not be religious conversations. Believers should be having those kind of conversations. People should be doing what we're doing all over the world.
Yep.
As natural as we are.
Yeah.
Where we're like,
so much.
I mean, do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, it's like I'm just looking out and I'm sitting here stressing. I'm like, we've been
don't worry about the time.
We've been out. Don't. We're just here and we're going to go until the Spirit tells us to stop.
We have eternity.
That's right.
Jesus is like, I saved the first hour and a half of that nonsense.
Right. No, I'm just. It's there's so many places to go at this point because you talk about people that in. And I don't mean to be judgmental, but there are people I have in my mind. I mean, specific people that I know that it's like, how do you get them to see? You know, how do you? And now I'm asking you, oh, great teacher. You know what? You know, and I just my thing is, it's like number one, and we've talked about this, is part of our goal for this podcast is that if just one person hears us talking about this stuff and can make heads or tails of how much we jump all over the place in our excitement about grace, if one person hears and can latch on and begin to understand and have revealed to them by the Holy Spirit just how big a deal this idea of His work of grace is in their life, then it doesn't matter how many site hits, downloads, and I mean that, you know, in the least churchy way possible. But at the same time, I know in my personal life, man, there are people that I just want to get this. And I can't, you can't grab them and say, understand, you know, you just want to shake them and be like, get it with me.
Well, imagine though, Steve, the barriers to having genuine conversations in our churches and in our religious communities. Imagine the barriers that we've put up. We may sit next to someone in Sunday school or church or Wednesday night or anything for years and never have broached the topic of salvation or grace. We may know about their children or their grandchildren. We may know something about the weather and how much rain fell in their yard that week, and we may know all of those.
Which
little
perplexes me, by the way. Yeah. I don't know if that's a phenomenon specific to around here or if it's everywhere, but the people who have the little rain gauge.
The rain gauge,
baby.
We
got 2 inches over to our place.
I don't know what I would talk about in most social circumstances in the South if I didn't talk about the weather.
It's cold today.
It's cold, it's boy. As evidenced by the jackets we're wearing. But anyway,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. Yeah, you have these conversations or these barriers to the
and
things.
And why is that? That makes it's like, okay, we got up, we came to a building that says church. We're singing about God. We're going to listen to a guy talk for 30 minutes to an hour about God, but we ourselves are never actually going to turn to one another and say, here's where I am with Christ. Here's what He's doing in my life. Here's what's changing. But there is this phenomenon.
Do you think it's because it requires some vulnerability on our part?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, in
yeah.
Okay. Let me ask this then. Let me pick your brain. Does the realization of God's grace in our life make it okay to be vulnerable? Is that one of the things that happens?
It does to me.
Yeah, me too.
Because I no longer really, really, really care what anybody thinks about me.
Exactly.
Except for the fact that because of the work He's done, I care very much about what they think about me. I care about, I want them to think different things.
Yes.
I don't really care what they think about me.
I want them to think highly of Christ in me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as saying, you know, I struggle with this, I don't want you don't want to spill your guts.
Oh, absolutely.
To anybody,
I don't want to be like a glass house.
Right.
Just look at me. You
right.
know? Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But at the same time, you know, if I'm having a rough day, if I'm, you know, one of the reasons I want people to know is because I want my family to be praying for me. You know, I want my brothers and sisters to be uplifting me in those times I need to be uplifted. I want them to know that I'm willing to do the same for them.
Yeah.
You know, and
I believe in certain circumstances, there are pockets of believers who are doing exactly what we're talking about. It's just phenomenal to me that this isn't the natural way that it is with all believers.
So
because if we're saved by this same miraculous grace, it would seem that more people would be latching on to it.
Yeah.
And so my thing is, I believe it's the same lie that Paul was already confronting. Paul could go on a missionary journey and start a church, and by the time he got across the sea and was writing them a letter, he had already gotten news that a bunch of liars had stepped in and were messing with his gospel. I mean, you understand what I mean? It began. Yeah. It began from the time of the infancy of the early church. That apparently, wherever the truth goes, there will always be those that come in and say, "Yeah, but,"
man,
they add to it.
Yeah,
that grace stuff is good, but.
Yeah,
it's the whole thing. You can't teach people about grace if you want them to work hard. You can't teach people about grace if you want them to serve in the church. You can't teach people about grace if you want to be sure your offering plate is filled. Well, I have 15 years worth of experience to the contrary, and more than that, I have a heart to the contrary. Because for 15 years, I've been walking around believing in grace, and I'm busier today than I have ever been at any other time in my life.
Yeah.
I have more things on my schedule, but I believe that every one of them has been placed there specifically appointed by God. And so for me, grace is not a lazy way to think about God. Jesus was in grace. Jesus was at rest and in motion simultaneously his whole ministry.
Yeah.
I love one point when he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, "I got a lot to say about you guys and I got a lot to judge you." But when he's talking to the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, that whole situation, the next chapter, he basically says, I got a lot of things I could judge you guys about. I got a lot of things I could point out about you. And I get a picture of him going, you. But my Father has things for me to say. So I'm going to say what my Father has for me to say.
That is so...
That's pretty powerful. Yeah. In other words, he says, I have the authority and the knowledge and the will, the knowledge and the wisdom and the authority to say some things about you, to even judge you for some things.
Yeah.
But I have the will to do what my Father asked me to do in this moment. I have the capacity to be A, but I have the choice and the will to be B. I'm going to do what the Father has sent me to do.
Yeah.
My day of judgment is in the future. Right now, this is a work
huge.
Of grace.
I mean, that's, gosh. I
now
mean,
you
that's,
think about that,
You
Steve.
Want to talk about jumping in deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, because now, with Christ in us,
yes.
And I guess we go back to this discipline freedom thing, with Christ in us, there's so much that we may have the wisdom and even the authority and the ability to say, do, or be, but...
We choose not to.
We choose not to because we recognize when we're being led by the Spirit of God what the will of the Father is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we go after that. And as we go after the will of the Father, you said Jesus at rest and in motion and all the same time, we find out what God was saying way before in Isaiah when we wait on the Lord.
Yes.
How we truly renew our strength and we mount up on those eagle's wings and that it becomes a thing of this grace, not only saves us and sustains us and disciplines us, it energizes and strengthens
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
And it's because we're doing the will of the Father.
Yeah.
And He does it. This is what amazes me about God. And this is one of those things that it took me forever to understand about God.
Y'all mark this down.
Mark, write it.
This is what amazes Steve.
This is
about
what,
God.
Well, not amazes me, but this is one of the neat things that amazes me about my walk with God is that at the end of the day, God wants me to. And I want to be careful. I'm just going to say it, and then we can qualify everything I say.
We are the qualifiers.
Right, right.
We are the kings of the qualifiers.
At the end of the day, God wants me to do what is right and good more than I do. And at the end of the day, we talk about maybe even being in the will of God. God wants me in His will more than I want to be in His will. And so if I just have a heart to say, God, here I am, I want to do this, guess what? God's going to uphold me.
Absolutely.
God's going to keep me in His will.
Dude, you just hit a great point. We don't have to beg God to be involved in our affairs.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Thank you for qualifying my whole
we
statement.
We don't have to beg God and plead with God to somehow figure it out.
Yeah.
I heard one time that faith is not that God can change things. Faith is that God has caused things.
Wow. Yeah.
Faith is you're in control. You're already in control. Lord, you were in control before I prayed this prayer. You knew I was going to pray this prayer. You know exactly what I'm going to say. But I need to say this prayer because it helps me.
Yeah.
And so we focus on, Lord, this is what I need. I'm that poor beggar that found a little morsel of bread, and I'm coming back for some more. And I need to see this. I need to experience this. And grace allows me to be that vulnerable, that honest, that real. And instead of putting on a mask in front of people and in front of God and pretending, I don't have to pretend on either end of the spectrum. I don't have to pretend that I'm better than I am, and I sure don't have to pretend that I'm worse than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
With God, I no longer have to pretend that I'm sorry for something if I'm really not sorry. I could come to Him and be honest, and I can say, Lord, I wanted to do so and so and so. I chose that bad attitude. I chose this. I chose that. I chose this. And stand before Him and wait a little while until He corrects me. He encourages me. He says, no, don't ever do that again. Or He may even, in the gentlest sense of the term, say, Jason, that was not a very smart thing to do.
Right.
Whatever He wants to do, He's free to do it, but I'm free to be me in front of Him. We've messed up what holiness is. Holiness is not me pretending or even being as good as I can be and hanging on to as much goodness as I can and saying, Lord, here's how great I was. Holiness is receiving the wholeness of God, the forgiveness and the mercy of God, and standing before it and saying, Lord, make me experience what I could not experience on my own.
Yeah.
And then trust Him to be doing that as you live your life. Now, one problem that we sometimes run into in the grace area is that people who do understand grace are constantly worried that they're living in it. That they're constantly worried, am I yielding?
Okay.
Am I trusting? Am I yielding? Am I trusting? Lord, I want to be trusting. Lord, I want to be yielding. Lord, I want to be trusting. Lord, I want to be yielding. And almost that in itself becomes just another thing to do.
Yeah.
Puts me back in charge.
Yeah.
I got to yield to you again today, the Lord. I got to yield today. Let's just relax and chill and say it's finished and wake up and enjoy it. Let's don't play mental gymnastics with God. Let's don't make it more complicated than it is.
Yeah, yeah.
The scriptures are complicated, but they're and complex in the fact that they're in different languages and they're from different generations and from different writers and they speak in a different voice than we do now. But the very simple message of the whole of the scriptures, if we take them in their totality, is that God desires relationship with men and has made a way for relationship in the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son and has sent word of His desire for that relationship in the 66 books of inspired and errant Scripture. And He has made it possible that we could understand those Scriptures by the power of His Holy Spirit.
And that's all grace.
And that's grace.
That's all grace.
From beginning to end.
Yeah.
He could have done this, man. He could have. God is self-sustaining and eternal.
Yeah.
And there is no part of Him that is needy. He could have chosen not to even create us to begin with. He could have withheld natural life from us. He could have withheld beauty. He could have withheld affection. He could have withheld human love. He could have withheld community. He could have withheld family. He could have withheld all of those things. And because He's God, He would have had every right to do so.
Yeah.
But just in a very general sense, He has been gracious to all humanity that we breathe in and we breathe out and we see the miracles of God every waking moment of the day. But in a very specific work of grace, He has saved those who believe in His Son. And when we enjoy that moment by moment, day by day, no religion can hold us back. And no worldly thing can really hold an attraction to us.
Yeah.
Now, if we get in a situation like you were speaking that you were in, where we take a specific aspect of our lives and we elevate it to an inflated position, God does have a very powerful way of getting our attention. And usually, Steve, in my experience, that's come from the word of a friend, from a scripture, maybe from a sermon, or maybe it's just come from some time alone with God.
Yeah.
Because isn't it weird how no matter how far we go down the road of, I'm on my own, I'm doing it myself, He always draws us back in our minds to where He already is in our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah.
He never leaves us and He never forsakes
us. That's good. Yeah.
You know, I think we missed the point in the New Testament where we read of the prodigal son. I believe the prodigal son story, where the prodigal's out in the pig pen, so to speak, I believe that's a picture of ancient Israel or the nation of Israel under the Pharisees and all this kind of stuff. I believe that's more of a picture for them, of them coming to their mind and coming back to God. Mm-hmm. When we get to the fullness of the new covenant, the work of grace, the cross, Steve, that's the embodiment of God coming to us.
Hmm.
John chapter 1 says he tabernacled among us.
Yeah.
He lived among us. You know, he understands our frame and our makeup. He's not like a high priest who is untouched by our sorrows and our struggles, but he calls us to come to his throne of grace in times of need. By definition, there will be times of need.
Right.
And by definition, we are to come to him, not run from him, not hide from him, not put a mask on, not parade for him, not perform for him, but come to him.
Yeah.
Think about that, Steve, and think about the difference in that. And, well, A, God's not going to listen to your prayer unless you've asked him to forgive you. Well, this, and
right,
this. B,
yeah.
How much did you put in the offering plate? C, how much do Bible did you read?
Yeah.
D, how much of your church did you come? Or E, how good were you? I'd say today is the day of salvation, and that also today is the day of reclamation.
Yeah.
Today is the day of restoration.
Yeah.
I'd say today is that day.
Yeah.
You know, and the friendly neighborhood vacuum cleaner is right outside.
It's coming on. So,
Steve, how long have we talked?
We're closing in on the 2 hour mark, sir. We're about an hour 50 almost.
I think we go to 2 hours.
You think we go? You think we go to 2 hours? Well, let me just, you know, I guess as we
are you going to edit some of this?
Oh, sure, of course.
Some of it needs to be edited.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Mainly parts at the beginning.
Maybe.
Where we were stammering.
We'll see. I don't think we were stammering.
You weren't really stammering. I was stammering.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you out at the beginning.
Steve has been called out. Steve's been on his phone several times during the podcast.
I have. Well,
because he's a true minister.
I've got people lighting the phone up, and so I couldn't help it. But anyhow, I was listening to you as I was doing it. But, okay, here we go.
Just cut all that. Edit.
While we wind down, as we close out, here's, you know, because I think this kind of encompasses a lot of what we've been talking about through this whole time. Romans 5, 8 through 10 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." Saved from the wrath of God. We understand that while we're not exempt as children from the discipline of God, we are exempt from the wrath of God now.
Yes.
His wrath has been meted out at the cross. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life."
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And it's that continuous, not continuing, but continuous work of grace.
Yeah. One understanding of that word reconciled is literally to be made the friend of.
Yeah, yeah.
Now think about that, Steve. To be made the friend of God.
Yep.
For years, I wanted to go to heaven and be saved, but I never had the concept that it was cool to be God's friend. Almost felt like that would be sacrilegious to even imagine it.
Right, right. Only Abraham could be a friend of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I believe, you know, I believe that there is a transitional period that takes place, or a transitional thought in our minds, where we can recognize the real depth of the closeness that we have with him. Folks can connect with us, Steve, at matchlesscast.com. Now, they can also go on iTunes, and this would really help us. Search for Matchless Cast. It's two words, I believe, but it may pop up as one, Matchless Cast. But when you search online, it's matchlesscast.com. That's all together. But when you go to iTunes, search for Matchless Cast, and then leave a review, a positive review.
And be a friend of us.
Be a friend to us. No, if you're led, seriously, we would love that. And, you know, share it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever with your friends. In the future, we're going to expand what we do at matchlesscast.com. We're going to have some things that we write, some books that we recommend, some other podcasts that we really dig. One of the funny things about this was somebody that listened to the podcast said, "I've never heard you be that serious that long," talking about me.
Really?
Because as most people in my real life know, I'm usually the one following the main talker and just subverting whatever they say.
Sorry.
Do you understand what I mean? So I'm used to Steve being the one who says all the really good stuff, and then I just come in and try to distract him. And so they were laughing. They were like, "It was funny to hear you go 10 minutes and not crack a joke," because in my real life, that's who I am,
right?
Just by definition. It's right. Just, you know. But you said something I had to finish. I have to put this in. This has to stay in. Don't edit this out.
Don't worry. I shan't.
That would be work. Listen, we spoke on the phone last night, and we both said the same thing. This is one of the most free things we've done in a long time in our lives. That doing this podcast, as silly as it is, staring at each other across from your desk, has been almost the culmination of years of, I know on my side, years of prayer and anticipation, but also just a desire. We see so much hurt out there.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to be that way. Across the board, the world offers enough hurt for all of us.
Yep.
There's enough pain in just living through this messed up, sin-cursed world.
Yeah.
The church and our church families and our relationship with God should be the very least hurtful thing. It should be the greatest part of our reality.
Yep.
Shouldn't be just part of our reality. It should be our reality. And as we experience the love and mercy and forgiveness of God, man, we just want to share it with people. And when you said to me last night, I just want one person. Well, that's an old, we've sat in church meetings all our life with just one person, and nobody meant it. Because everybody really meant there better be 150 people show
up, really,
or we go have to throw out this chili.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But we literally could do this if on our stat sheet it says one download every episode.
Right.
Because of A, what it does for us, and B, what it might do for that person. Not because we're not teaching anything new under the sun. Mm-hmm. What's amazing about grace, Steve, you look at the earliest writings you can find from the early church fathers, and you flood all the way down through the Reformation, and you read what they said about salvation and sanctification and glorification, you will fall all over yourself finding grace.
Yeah.
It is only in the last 100 years, I believe, when the great cultural shift took place, especially in the South, where church transformed, maybe not just this 100 years, but as far as the experiences we've had, where church transformed into a cultural thing instead of a spiritual thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think our goal here is to realize that the spiritual reality of our everyday from walk with God should be the experience that we have in church, and with our church families, and with our pastors, and with our leaders, and with our teachers, and that our prayer is that the entirety of the church, regardless of denomination, would understand the powerful love and mercy and forgiveness of God that we call grace, all of it.
I'm in agreement with you. I just, you've mentioned something that I think is something we need to talk about down the road, that just is one of those neat subjects to talk about. So I wrote it down.
Okay, good. So,
good. Just the idea of how often in history has, when church becomes the culture, how much grace gets lost in that, yes. in the work of grace gets lost. And so
I think it's a pattern that repeats itself.
Yeah, I think that'll be neat to talk about down the road.
Follow us on the Twitter.
Have we tweeted anything?
I've tweeted the original, like, hey, here's our first episode.
Okay, good.
Yes. It's at twitter.com/matchlesscast. And you can find us.
Is
there.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Matchless.
Okay.
It's Matchless Cast.
All right.
If you can't remember that, when you go to matchlesscast.com, there's a big button that says follow me on Twitter.
Okay.
You can go there.
You're a crazy website guru, man.
I prefer .com dollar air. Not a millionaire, but dollar
just
air.
You're a guru, man. Like we were talking last time, I'm like, you got all that? Okay. When we were talking, I got so worried. I'm like, he's going to be so ticked that all I'm doing is...
No. I want Steve to handle the audio to make our voices sound like honey. And then other than that, my fear. I'm the most southern-sounding person on the planet.
Yeah.
You actually have a pretty decent radio voice. I literally sound like I'm fixing to go skin a deer.
Deer. It's grace, man. Just accept the grace through it. People know. I can start doing Billy Graham if you'd like me to.
You can?
I mean, I can just be like, welcome to Matchless Cast. We're going to talk about scripture today. Various things of the grace of God. Won't you come?
Dude, won't you come one more time?
Won't you come? The buses will wait. We'll chain them together. We have counselors and literature.
Billy Graham's the man.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
If Jesus is like right hand, he's got to be like...
He's got to be over there.
He's over there somewhere,
he's like,
man.
He's like to the right. He's
like, Peter, scooch over.
Yeah. That's... Yeah.
You ever been to a Billy Graham?
I never have. You know, I went to college.
Steve, you might not
be saved. And lived across... And lived across the hall from his grandson, his namesake.
Did you really?
Yeah. Great guy. Like, I mean, honestly, nothing bad could be said about the dude. He was just a super nice. Took me as a freshman now. He was a senior. As a freshman, took me under his wing, just made
That's
sure
awesome.
That I got to know my way around the town I was in, everything. Just a really cool, super guy.
I heard him in Jacksonville twice, back to back. We took a group
Billy?
Of youth, and then we took some senior
adults. You may say Billy.
It was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
To see 75,000 people.
Yeah. Just
it was kind of like a prelude to heaven.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine what that's going to be like? Like, I mean, what we know about God even now is just by faith and by our understanding in the scriptures and our experience in our hearts. But, you know, we don't understand it yet, but when it's to be revealed, the scriptures say we shall see him face to face. And literally, we shall be like as he is.
Yeah.
And so shall we ever be. Mm. I mean, that's, dude, there's a whole nother grace
thing. We're going to have to talk
All right.
about grace.
Anyway, guys, hope you have a blessed week.
This will probably be broken up into two parts.
We're going to try to be better or?
Or break it up into two parts.
Or
we're just going to accept grace.
Or
we're not going to be better.
There we go. That was going to be our tagline.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm not a mind reader, man. I can't. Why don't you do this instead of me
trying to lead you?
Instead of me
trying to lead you, but it didn't work. Like or?
I mean, you want or not or. Why don't you, instead of me finding bed music, why don't you rap us on the way out?
No, thank you.
Okay.
All right. I tell you what, let's end it in a different way.
Okay.
Let's pray for the folks that are here.
All right, let's do it, man.
I pray. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to just sit here and hang out with each other and just talk about you. First of all, we want to thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us and not only died for us so that our sins could be forgiven, but he rose so that we could have new life and real life. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who reminds us every day of the sacrifice of your Son and the glorious hope that we have in heaven, and also just reminds us of your ever-present love. We pray, Lord, that in the mixture of all our laughter and fun, that you'll take the words that we've spoken here and the words that we've are thrown back and forth, Lord, and that if there's just somebody out there that's looking for hope today, that they found it in your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your word, which is sure and steadfast. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness, which never leave us, never fade and never diminish. And Lord, I thank you for Steve, and I pray for his ministries and his life. And I just thank you for today's podcast. And we pray that it would go as you see fit for it to go. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
How do you think prayer on a podcast works? I mean, you think it just...
Listen to it, see?
Okay. No. I'm saying like, if 3 years down the road someone downloads this podcast,
oh,
is a prayer still valid?
Yeah. There's no time with God. He is sovereign. I believe He hears all the prayers of all the saints all the time.
So we don't have to bless the food at every meal. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to hear.
He knows I'm thankful, son.